Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word comes to us today from Paul's letter to the Galatians in the first chapter, where we hear, beginning at verse 6, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed." And in verse 11, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Friends in Christ, trick question. How many religions are there in the world? If you Google that question, you get a wide variety of answers, and the first thing that pops up is it says that there are roughly 4,200 religions in the world. And you scroll down, and another source says that there are 19 major world religions subdivided into 270 large religious groups. You can drill down into those statistics and learn that there are approximately 34,000 Christian denominations, and on it goes. However, I said that this was a trick question, and it is. How many religions are there in the world? There are exactly two. Religion number one is the religion of law. The religion of law. Religion number two is the religion of grace. And if you're not sure what I mean by that, that's okay, stick with me. But it's incredibly important that you understand this distinction. At least that's what the Apostle Paul thought. Paul is writing this letter to the churches in Galatia, and after giving a fairly standard apostolic greeting, he comes out swinging. Again, he says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed." Wow. What was going on there in Galatia? Well, it seems that teachers had shown up after Paul and company left, and they started to suggest that Paul's message was incomplete. So they were saying that to really receive God's blessing, to really know that you are saved, you had to believe in Jesus, plus observe certain Old Testament customs and ceremonies. What's the problem with that? The problem is, as Paul contends pretty vehemently, at that point you no longer have gospel. You no longer have good news. Paul is contending for the religion of grace, because the religion of law is, in fact, a curse. So back to those distinctions. When you understand them, you'll understand why Paul was so upset. There are two religions in the world, and the first one is the religion of law. And simply put, the religion of law is based on your performance. It might help to imagine a ladder reaching from earth up to heaven. And the religion of law says, see that ladder? In order to gain God's favor, in order to achieve enlightenment, in order to, quote unquote, go to heaven, You must start climbing. You must climb with discipline. You must climb with moral excellence. And if you climb well, God may in fact bless you. But if you don't climb well, there will be consequences. In the end, the benefits and the rewards are based entirely on what you do. The religion of grace could not be more different. The religion of grace is not based on your performance, but someone else's. There's a ladder reaching from earth to heaven in this one as well. However, the religion of grace says, you see that ladder? As hard as you may try, you will never make it to the top. You don't have it in you. But knowing this, God Himself is going to come down that ladder. He's going to do all the stuff you couldn't do. He's going to pay the penalty for your faults and then put you on His back as He takes you up the ladder to heaven. And in the end, the benefits and the rewards are based on what God does. Do you see? There's just one religion of grace. And it is believing the good news of Jesus, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified and died and was buried and descended into hell. That same Jesus rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. And the religion of grace claims that Jesus not only did all of these things historically, but He did all of those things for you. That He came down the ladder to do what you and I could never do. And then He gives you the benefits of His activity. The burden of the climb down, the burden of the climb back up, that's all on Jesus. And that's what makes the Christian faith absolutely unique. It's what enables us to say that there are only two religions in the world, because everything else, no matter what label you slap on it, is based on your performance. And the reason this matters so much is that a religion or a philosophy or a worldview, whatever you want to call it, that's based on your performance, that will ultimately crush you. Why? Because you can't live up to it. You'll always be wondering, am I doing enough? You'll find yourself taking on too many things and acting out of guilt because you're trying to justify your own existence. And worse yet, you may start to feel superior to other people because you're outperforming them. The religion of law says that's okay. The religion of law says you can redeem yourself if you just work hard enough. But did you notice what's missing from that? You hear any talk there about love for God? No, you don't. This is God as your boss. That's why Paul makes such a big deal about the Galatian situation. These teachers who came in after Paul may have paid lip service to the religion of grace, but by insisting on tacking on the religion of law after the fact, they were putting the burden back on the people. The message being sent was, Jesus did some great things, but it's still up to you to climb that ladder. And that's tragic. You know why, right? You had the message of Jesus, of God coming down the ladder to save us, but then it gets switched to a message that crushes the human spirit by turning our focus inwardly. Well, Paul wasn't having it. He knew that message was a curse, and he went so far as to say that the people who were delivering that message were under a curse. Strong words. But he's right. Grace plus law is not the gospel. Either you climb the ladder to get God, or God climbs down the ladder to get you. Jesus coming down to do for us is the very essence of the good news message. Do you understand? This is what Jesus thinks of you. He came down here to throw His arms around you. He came down here emptying Himself in order to go to a cross for you and me. This is not God as your boss. This is God as your hero. And you don't love a hero out of a sense of duty or obligation. You love a hero because of who he is and what he has done for you. And we don't have time to get into how you can work this good news into every area of your life, but I hope that you sense the potential of it to become a new foundation for whatever you're looking at in life. And some of you, I know, are very good at doing this already. Now, some people might hear this talk about two religions and think, wow, only two, huh? The gospel of Jesus and everything else? Isn't that kind of narrow-minded? It's a valid question. My response to that question would be this. Imagine that you are very, very sick. It's not looking good for you at all. You go to the doctor. The doctor makes your diagnosis. And then she says to you, look, I'm giving it to you straight. You are not in good shape. In fact, your death is imminent. However, I have this medicine that will reverse the effects of your disease, that will heal you completely and prolong your life for who knows how long. Only catch is, this is the only medicine that will work. So, what do you do? Are you going to take it? Or will you refuse to take the medicine because it's too narrow? That's the only one that will work? I don't want that. Jesus came down the ladder to offer His life for yours. Take this medicine and accept no substitutes. Let's pray. Heavenly and gracious Father, it is so easy for us to begin to think that our relationship with You is based fundamentally on what we do, what I do, how well I live, how good I am at keeping Your laws. And yet I know from Your Word that that is not the basis of my relationship with You at all. That the true gospel of grace that Paul and the apostles were so passionate about is the gospel of You doing the work and passing the benefits on to us, and we receive it not by works that we do, but by faith, by believing that You have done that on our behalf, and that absolutely levels the playing field, Lord. I cannot feel superior to another person because I'm under the curse of the law just as they are. Yet I've received salvation as a free, full gift, because You loved us enough to send Your Son to bear our sin, to pay for it all, and be our Savior, substituting Himself on the cross. Father, I pray that You would teach me how to work this gospel into my daily life so that I know without doubt that I am fully loved by You. And knowing that, I can face anything the world throws at me. I pray it in Jesus' strong name. Amen.